Today on the show, oh, we've got so much. We've got MLS playoffs. We've got NWSL final. Marta's mom was there, and she stayed the whole time. Plus, we talk a lot of Europe. Oh, my God. 5 in a row for Pep?
And also, we're going to be joined by Andrea Yeo. She's the co-founder of Minnesota Aurora. They play in the USL Women's League, and the Cooligans have a fun surprise. You're going to be quite excited. So all this and more today on the Cooligans. You are looking at the NYC Footy P4 Division Champion.
Everybody. You know what? Everybody was asking, bro, what's going on in the P4, bro?
Everybody, that's the league everybody focuses on.
Everybody, man.
So,
My European homies are like, how come we haven't been updated?
I am.
Is that what this is?
That you're looking at the scarf? Hey.
If you're listening, just above my head says champs.
Exactly. Editor. Meaning Carter.
Zoom in on that, yo.
Zoom in right that. Do it in post.
You know what I mean? Let everybody know.
Yes, our team, Culos Calientes.
Mm.
We are now officially winners of the P4. P4B division. There are two.
Bro, I've been culo caliente my whole life.
Exactly. You have said this since day one.
Bro, since day one.
But here it is. It's official. You know what? People are always like, yo, y'all are comedians. Y'all don't really play. Y'all don't really know the game. How about now?
How about now, bro?
How about now?
Yo.
You're looking
say
at
that to the ring, dog.
Look, even my son. I brought the baby on the pitch and everything. This is authentic. Footballer.
That's right. You run around. Look at this. You got your splash in what I'm assuming is a Truly.
No, that is that champagne.
That's
bro.
Champ.
Bro, in 45 degree weather.
There's the homie Grace going ham.
We're having a great time. I can't play the music on this clip, but right. it's actually Pitbull's Culo playing right now.
There you go.
All right. So we had a good time. This was a proper victory. What I scored in the semifinal. And we won. That's what's playing right there, nice. Bro. So I scored in the semifinal. We won that game 2-1. And then we won the final 2-0. And then I also got to give a shout out to our goalkeeper Jag. He's in the back there in the different colored jersey. He's a Celtic fan. For the first time ever, I've been playing in this league for almost 10 years.
Yeah.
For the first time ever, I gave up a penalty, a handball in the box.
Bro.
I couldn't believe this happened in the final.
Oh, Harry Maguire Polanco over here.
I was like, what? This I can't. It broke my heart because I thought I will just absolutely let the team down. And our goalkeeper Jag is up for the penalty and stops it. Great stop to his left, and then we cleared it out. And we played a team that we could never beat in years of playing them. They're very very good. And we finally got the title. This is my first time ever. I've been playing since 2014. When I started playing, I didn't know how to do anything. I could barely pass the ball, shoot a ball, learned how to play, and boom, look at this. A winner.
Bro, come on, yo.
We
making Cooligans proud, dude.
You know, so shout out.
How much better is this than a team full of comedians, huh?
I tried my best with Cooligans FC and but the biggest challenge isn't the talent. That the New York City comedians have as soccer players.
No, because there's some good ones.
There's some very good ones.
Some
but I can't get them to show up.
That's the problem.
I can't get they
in true comedian fashion.
they'll do spots on Saturday night and then on Sunday they either too drunk to show up or too tired or forget about the game. And it got too difficult to babysit a lot of the comics. So but it's all good, bro. This I joined this team, and shout out to the whole team. Really, really great. And also I want to just highlight we play in a co-ed league, and usually in a lot of co-ed leagues, and just the women that do play on the team, they you have to have two women on the field at all times. And because it's always like issues with substitutes, and having female subs is always like a thing in rec soccer. all over the world. It's just so difficult to find female players that play right. consistently. And we only had three female players for these two playoff games, and they had to play pretty much all, like literally just one sub for them. So a lot of them had to play almost the full game. So just absolute warriors, and I wanted to give a shout out to the female players in rec soccer, because it is no joke.
You can't play without them.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's I'm excited. I'm in a good mood, especially after the MLS playoffs this weekend. Talk all about it. Welcome to the show, everybody. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We are the Cooligans right here, as always, on Yahoo Sports. Yahoo! Crushing it.
Come on. That's why we here, baby. We champs.
Exactly.
And when I say we, I mean Christian.
Okay, no, but it's a collective. Even Carter is a champion now.
He has something to do with it, bro.
Okay.
Look at that Tottenham fan. First trophy ever. How's it feel, dog? How's it feel,
We can share. Bask in this glory together.
Call Harry Kane, dog.
So
I don't know. It's lit.
We have an exciting show today because we have an incredible guest. We're going to be joined by Andrea Yosh, who one of the founders of Minnesota Aurora, the women's team out in Minnesota.
That's right. She was also integral in TST.
Exactly. She was the one who invited me to TST. Right. And, obviously, I get invited to TST.
Paid off.
I'm winning.
Now you're a champion.
Winning titles. Okay,
bro, it's all over, dog.
So we're gonna talk to her about that that whole project, and we have a little bit of news as well. So you'll just wait till our interview with her to hear a nice fun surprise. All right, let's get started today. We're gonna cover MLS Cup playoffs.
We're also gonna talk about Europe a little bit.
Yeah,
in a bit.
And WSL final. But let's start.
Amarim. Come on now. We got to talk about that.
Okay. Ed Sheeran? Ed Sheeran's show.
Upsetting people?
So, MLS, let's start there. Highs and lows of the MLS Cup playoffs. We should just start with the Hudson River Derby because we were there. This is what we were sort of here for, right? Mm. Just to uplift maybe the blue side of the Hudson River Derby, and let's share our experience. So first of all, Rebel 2-0 victory at Citi Field. I think a lot of people did not see this coming.
No,
we 100% did not.
I think if we're honest with ourselves, we think New York City was kind of playing with a little bit of house money, getting this far in the playoffs. I thought. You know, especially
I can say the same
game.
About Red Bull as well.
Simply speaking about New York City FC.
Mm-hmm.
But you think once you get past that first round, anything's possible.
Right.
And I think for large portions of this match, I think New York City were the better team. They were just unable to really get like sort of that dominance. Get them playing in their own half a little bit.
Yeah,
the way the Red Bull absolutely were
first
able to.
First half was, I thought, spectacular from Red Bulls. They dominated.
Yeah, they took big opportunities.
Took big opportunities, but they also controlled. They for the most part, kept the ball at NYCFC's half.
Well, they certainly didn't let NYCFC sort of pressure them in their own half the way NYCFC seems to want to do.
Yeah, and they, it was a little bit of route one. Footy, that first goal was just a blast from Coronel.
No one
closed them down.
You got that much space. Yeah, at least try a golazo and it went in.
I forgot who won that first ball that was in the air. But James Sands went for it. It falls to Carvalho's feet.
Yeah.
And it's one of the best goals, I think, this season. I mean, it was just an absolute rocket. It was also very windy. I think
it had to have taken something or a knuckle because I've never seen Matt Freese guess go the wrong way and then have to coach.
Because I thought it was a deflection. I was on that end of the stadium. So I was like, oh, it was a deflection. And then I saw the replay. I'm like, oh no, that was just an absolute blast. But it did look like it moved a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, and then the second goal. That was the one I think that took the air out of the stadium. I've been seeing a lot of the discourse and people are just being like, oh, the Rebel fans were louder and the whole thing. But that second goal was the thing that was like, what?
Completely deflated.
It deflated the whole team.
Especially with Alonso Martinez missing two very easy shots.
And that was a game where, it 100%.
If you look at the XG, it's like 2.8 for...
No, 3.61.
I saw 2.8. Okay, 3.61 for New York, New York City.
Yeah.
That's difficult. When you score nothing, but the supercomputers are like, you should have had at least three, bro.
Okay, ChatGPT says this is a New York City FC victory.
The cloud is like, bro, what's going on?
So this was, as NYCFC fans, I mean, this is something where, how did you feel? Because we were at the stadium, but we didn't watch the game together. This was a game, even going into the game, I'm like, this is going to be tough to beat a team three times in a row. And then if there was something that after it, well, I'm like, I don't know whether to be more sad at losing, at being out of the playoffs or losing to Red Bull.
Yeah. I mean, I think this just adds another wrinkle to the rivalry.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if Red Bull's good enough to win the whole thing, but they're playing better right now than they did at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. That second half, though, it was remarkable that NYCFC didn't score. I thought they were going to at least get one.
I was under the impression, I'm like, this is going to go to extra time.
Exactly.
And it just never happened. So, congratulations to Sandro Schwartz. You've put together a team. Emil Forsberg completely makes his team click. Which sure. You see when he's not on the pitch, it's like when Maxi Morales isn't on the pitch for us, even though he was on the pitch and you couldn't really get him the ball. Was Santi playing the 10 for most of this game?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think also they tried to, especially in the first half, they tried to eliminate Maxi as much as they could.
And they were doing a pretty good job.
They did a good job of it.
They
did
a good job. If he doesn't get the ball at his feet, they're just not as effective. But I think this is, if you're looking at where the rebuild is, right? So New York City FC has been in a bit of a rebuild over the last few seasons. If you look at where it is, I think you'd say, if you could look at this, bird's eye view, probably a little bit further ahead than they thought they would be at this point of the season.
Sure.
Especially getting rid of Talis Magno, having him. I don't know if he's out on loan or if he's completely transferred.
I think it's a loan, but I don't think he's coming back.
But he's not. Yeah, he's probably not coming back. So you look at that, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? If you're a New York City FC fan, as long as Red Bull doesn't win the MLS Cup, you're good.
Everybody's Team Orlando right
now.
Yeah,
let's go Orlando, bro.
Just a couple things that were notable after the game. Two things happened. One... John Tolkien, did you see what he did after the game? So after the game, he goes to...
Oh, he did go to the supporters.
He went to the NYCFC supporters to kind of like...
And they threw a bunch of stuff at him.
They did. Fair. I mean, it's like, you know...
That's kind of fair, right? You know, you're going
I mean, he knows what he's sort of getting himself into. Not okay to throw things at players, whatever. But then Max Morales came and pushed him away. It started a big scuffle. Emil Forsberg coming in, arguing with Maxi. Everybody's like, even I think some of the Rebel players were like, John, you know how he is. So it was funny. And then the other thing was a fan stormed the pitch. Did you see this?
I did see it. It took like 8 people to tackle him.
This was so crazy. So a fan stormed the pitch. And this does not happen at NYCFC games because it's also like, who are you running to get a photo with or a selfie with?
Yeah.
So he runs on the pitch. And it takes a long time for anybody to even be aware that like something's going on. Because no one does this. This is very strange. This happened when like Pirlo was playing, right?
Or like Messi.
Yeah. Those are understandable. So he runs through several like kind of like through players, staff. Then I'm like wondering, I'm like, who is he going to? He stops at you know who? Keaton Parks.
Big Keaton Parks, bro. Huge, bro. He's willing to go to jail for Keaton Parks.
Not only is he...
You could have DM'd him and met him for a coffee.
I love Keaton Parks as much as the next person.
Bro, but even Keaton Parks would tell you, Keaton Parks, you weren't going to jail over, dog.
He runs over to Keaton Parks. He tries to, I think, either give him a hug or take a photo or something. I couldn't make sense of it. And then... the security, they grab him.
So that's when I see him. I see a group of men wearing all black. This looks like baseball security guys.
Yeah, and they go grab him, and then they knock over Keaton.
Oh, really?
Keaton falls over, and I was worried that he might have been injured or something because he really, like, toppled over. The dude is, like, 6'4". So he gets up quickly. I'm like, oh, okay, good. And then the dude gets arrested. He gets put in handcuffs.
Yeah.
Because he's also, like, not cooperating and fighting.
He starts kicking them.
And I'm like, what?
What are you doing,
for
bro?
For Keaton? What is it about Keaton that I do not know?
He would have let you drive his car. You know what I mean? Like, he's a good dude.
You want to babysit his kid? No, he might let you.
He could take his girl to the theater, dog.
It's crazy. So I don't know. I don't know. I took a photo of the guy. I'm like, I just took a photo of him. I'm like, do I know this person?
Yeah.
And it wasn't anybody I recognized. So wow. I can't make sense of it.
Drinking at the game,
I don't know what it is. So no, we don't need that. There's also no reason
explain
for it.
Ninja, what are you in for? Keaton Parks?
Oh, Keaton. Oh, dang. How lucky are you?
Everyone slides away from him. Chill. He dangerous, bro.
All right. The other a couple other matches in the playoffs. LAFC lose to the Seattle Sounders. Jordan Morris
coming in
clutch at the end of the game, scoring a great goal in extra time.
Schmetz does it again, dog.
This is Seattle Sounders. They got in what? They were the seventh seed? What seed were they?
I don't remember.
No.
Go to the knockout. It'll tell you.
Yeah. They got in. They didn't have a great season. It wasn't ideal. Seventh might not be the case. Where did they finish?
They were fourth.
Fourth. Okay. Apologies.
That's not too bad.
That's not too bad.
Seventh was Colorado.
Okay. So
damn, the disrespect.
Apologies. I didn't. They had a decent season.
Yeah.
But this Seattle Sounders, given like the injuries that we're dealing with throughout mm-hmm. the year, this is not the result. You just didn't expect this. That they would be so kind of like defensively sound in this game. No pun intended.
Bum.
Because you feel like LAFC, even leading up to the end of the season, they were so dominant.
I think this is more of a conversation of like the inability of Steve Cherundolo to make the team better with a guy like Giroud.
Well, Giroud is, I think, is probably the biggest talking point because ever since his inclusion, did he score any goals in MLS? I don't think he might have only scored one. I know he scored in League's Cup, but he really didn't bring much to this team. And I would argue he kind of was a wrench in like probably what they already
was
had going.
He or should they? I mean, if somebody hands you a great player like that, shouldn't that make your team a little better? Shouldn't you figure out tactics?
But they were pretty good without him.
They were
him.
Great. They were great. Again, they finished in first.
And similar to the decision of Tata Martino to not play Julian Gressel mm-hmm. in the playoff game, in the three games against Atlanta, Kai Kamara, which I'm like, where is Kai Kamara? This is
that guy was scoring buckets.
He was especially late in game. He didn't play. I don't think he even got into this game, if I'm not mistaken. But it's just kind of disappointing the some of the decisions from Cherundolo because you would think again the firepower that they have up front. Obviously with Buanga, with Bogush, like how could they not figure out just to get a couple more goals? But credit to Seattle. And also, speaking of NYCFC, the own goal, there was an own goal for Maxime Cheneau.
Yeah, man.
But I felt bad for him. And he's also a center back that got subbed out, which
right.
is like not
nah, that doesn't always happen. That doesn't always happen. Look.
Not essentially great, but it was probably for the I think they put a more offensive player and changed the formation. But this was I think we just have to give credit to Seattle here because
Jordan Morris,
with the Roldan brothers, Stephen Fry.
Yeah,
I mean the Cooligans bump.
Bro, finally.
Okay. It seems to work very well for Seattle players, as well for NYCFC.
Yeah,
players.
Man. We messed up, right? We should have given the good juju to New York City FC. But, I mean, still, this is a huge... I mean, this is probably Don Garber's worst nightmare. But, you know, no El Trafico, no Miami.
After Galaxy won or just once LAFC lost, it was like, okay, this...
No,
it doesn't feel as sexy.
Yeah.
It's not going to be any less entertaining. So again, credit to the Sounders. This was a huge, just like to gut it out. That's really where I wanted. They tracked back. They handled the counters. And there's something when I watch LAFC, and I was watching this game with my wife, and she was just saying she was watching the game. She was like, as we're watching LAFC, she's just like, these guys are just like better, right? They're better than other MLS teams. They're like, they pass so fast. And you look at even the LAFC are the best at, like, when you see the players run, they run so fast that it looks like their legs are not.
Yeah.
They just, they run like Europeans, yeah, or whatever, yeah, you know? And they just, but they just, yeah, they couldn't figure out the Sounders. And this tends to be the case. We've throughout all the years that we've been doing our show, the Sounders always find some way to either get to an MLS Cup final, whether they finish high up on the table or not. So yeah, impressive overall. Okay. Next up, we'll end with Galaxy, but the Orlando and Atlanta, not too much to say here.
Not a lot going on.
Yeah.
1-0
victory. Obviously you're a little bummed for Dax McCarty. Because that would have probably been a fun matchup, Atlanta United against
versus
Red Bull.
Yeah, the Dax versus his old
Dax
team.
His own,
yeah,
team. That would have been a nice little storyline there. But Orlando, I think the better side here. Once they got the goal, I think they, you know, just did everything they could to just slow the game down and hold on.
Feels like all the stars are lining up for Galaxy, no pun intended there, to win this thing.
They had a terrible situation in Atlanta, though. Tiare had an injury and he got out of the game, and then the replacement also got injured.
Tough.
Right after, I'm like, all right, so just the Vanni Sartini gods were not on your side. the godless. So it didn't work out there. So Orlando will be facing obviously Red Bull, and then Galaxy against the against Minnesota United in a game that
I mean, Minnesota United were completely outclassed here.
Yeah, but also the Orlando game was so boring, respectfully, that this game kind of saved.
At least had goals, bro. Eight goals.
I mean, they were I think it was it four goals or five goals in the first half or something like that. I forgot how many. This was one, two, three, four, five. Yeah, five goals in the first half.
And three in the second. I mean, this was jam-packed. None for Minnesota in the second half.
Right in the beginning of the game, Ricky Pouge sends a great ball to Gabriel Peck.
He's fully back.
Yeah, he is looking great. And more than anything, LA Galaxy are... they score that goal in the 20 seconds in, and then they give up a goal 4 minutes later. Mm-hmm. And this is what I think we're sort of used to. They are like, oh, we're going to score more than you.
Right.
And we're not going to, worry too much about defending. But more than anything, this Galaxy, even though they didn't finish first in the Western Conference and had that, I don't know if you saw Ricky Pouge retweeted the MLS from MLS 360 when they were watching that game and Galaxy lost and LAFC won and then they finished it first. So Ricky Pouge reposted that clip of them like going crazy that LAFC won first place. For a guy who's this good at soccer, this good at soccer, he's also like, he's just like bookmarking. He's like, all right, I gotcha.
They do got a lot of time. We don't talk about this. They're done with training at like 1-2 o'clock.
He's like,
got a lot of time.
Hey, Kevin Egan, I gotcha, buddy. Yeah. I'm gonna one day.
My shooters is watching, bro. They already pinpointed me. They sent me the
Kaelin
link.
Kyle, I got a tweet coming.
Oh, was you smiling?
So shout out to them. Now, a very, very entertaining game. And then also, there was one moment, I think it was Paintsil's goal or somebody's goal, but they had the ball that they scored with and tossed it to a fan. And I'm almost sure that fan was Eli Lesser. I couldn't see. They didn't zoom in.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
But I could be wrong. Eli, if you're seeing this, let me know if anybody. But there was a fan like going like that. And, Eli usually wears a hat or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, he just passed the ball to Eli directly, like, randomly.
He was like, yo, love the content.
Keep it up, bro.
Yo, keep it up. We watching, bro. All
right. So then also, let's chat about the NWSL final.
Hey, bro, Marta.
Marta.
In front of her mom. You know, the last time her mom went to go see her play, she had to go to the hospital because she said she was getting too anxious watching Marta play.
Interesting.
It was too much pressure.
That's
this whole family, bro. This whole family is adorable.
That's very, that's scary. But
scary,
like,
very scary. But like, because it ended positively cute.
Okay, Marta's alive. Marta's mom is alive.
Yeah. Everyone's good at the end of the story.
But Marta, look, I mean, she, obviously, Barbara Banda gets the goal. And then off a play, another Brazilian at Orlando, Angelina, she pushes mushes.
Yeah, she kind of two hand pushes, and part of her hand gets on the on her face.
Lacey Santos.
Lacey Santos's face, which, yes, hands to the face. I completely understand Seattle, Washington fans saying, like, that should have been called. Something should have happened there.
Yeah.
But Christina Ungo, I think, had a really good explanation. I don't think there's really much there. I mean, again, the player doesn't go down. And this is why people say, like, oh, you know, in soccer, they flop too much. If you go down and hold your face, you're going to get that call. Should you have gotten that call? Well, if you go down, you will.
Yeah, yeah. I could see it being called. But the fact that it wasn't called, it felt a little bit like, yeah, yo, it's a big man game.
Yeah. You know? It's a final, dog.
It's a final. It's just like, walk it off, champ.
Take a finger in the mouth, bro. Yo, you trying to win?
There's a little bit of like, yeah, like, I mean, even throughout these NWSL playoffs, it's been a little, they've been a little chippy. I mean, how many times Trini Rodman was getting fouled even the playoffs?
She hurt her back kind of at some point in this game. Yeah,
she said that she wasn't 100%, but she wasn't going to like miss a final.
Yeah, dude, she gutted it the whole time. This was kind of a boring game, though, so I'm happy for Barbara Banda. Beautiful goal. I'm happy for Marta. You saw the players run to her and celebrate with her as soon as they won.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, completely sold out. Kansas City Current Stadium. I forget the name of the park now.
CPKC.
KCPK, something like that. But whatever it is. I apologize for forgetting. I mean, we could look it up. Carter. This was, I think, a great moment for women's soccer. You and I were at SoccerX when they were having the conversation about women's soccer, and Christina Uncle, who happened to be on the panel, said, like, you know, we're not taking pennies on the dollar anymore. We're not a charity. This is a full-blown fledgling business, over $1 billion globally, and we want our fair money when it comes to negotiations and stuff like that. And I thought this was a great example of how far the women's game had come.
Yeah, yeah. This was there's something to I was at the NWSL championship last year, and we obviously couldn't be there this year, but they just, even all the coverage, like, year after year, it's becoming much more more prominent, more pronounced. I mean, even, you know, I was just showing stuff from like Attacking Third, and CBS obviously is doing a great job, but a lot of the other independent coverage of it, Gal Pal Sports, Shea Butter, so many different people, the Meg Linehans of the world, everybody,
champions of the game,
they're all doing just incredible work. So it's making, even as I'm watching the coverage from home, I'm like, I still feel like I'm very much there, and you're seeing the accessibility, and similar to like the stuff, you know, that Christina Uncle was talking about at SoccerX. Just that it isn't this charity and all this other stuff, but more and more people are simply just working in the game, in covering the women's game. And it's like, there's not a ton of jobs in general, in soccer in general, male or female, but the fact that it's, you're seeing that that sponsorship, that interest, that coverage more and more and more from the women's side is just like great to see. So Orlando, they win the Shield, and they win the championship.
Justin,
so,
Seb Hines and Giles Barnes is on the coaching team.
Giles Barnes, we got to hit up Giles Barnes.
He's a homie.
He's been wanting to do the show again. I know that. He's the assistant coach over at Orlando Pride. So great to see. Congrats.
Coach of the year as well for Seb Hines.
To Marta.
Now champion.
And her mom, when they – put the camera on her and she was crying watching her. I'm like, come on,
bro.
What are you trying? It's a Saturday. I'm not trying to just cry out here.
Put your arm around this woman, bro.
So amazing to see. A great, great final. All right. Let's get to our conversation with Andrea. So Andrea Yosh is, like I said, one of the co-founders of Minnesota Aurora. They play in the USL Women's League.
She's awesome. She's cool people. She's very influential in the game. Mm-hmm. We're also going to be talking about some of the European games after her. But for Andrea, man, she's just like one of those people that you just like, you're happy is involved in the world of soccer.
Yeah, yeah. So you're all going to love her. All right. So here's our conversation with Andrea Yosh. I'm absolutely excited about our next guest because
you guys are about to listen to a business meeting.
This is a business meeting. We have a huge announcement to make.
Yeah.
As far as you know, the you know, the Cooligans Corp.
Bro, we leveling up.
Okay, so a lot's happening, but
we've been big money since day one, but now we acting like it.
So but this this person is not only someone who is obviously has you know, a big influence, mm-hmm. in especially American soccer, but also has truly and genuinely become a friend to the Cooligans.
Well, it's very rare that you meet people that are this involved in the world of soccer and are this like much of a good person.
Yeah, and also like us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that- well, that's it. There's a lot of good people who are like, I can give or take the Cooligans. And I'm like, okay, bad judgment. This one, this person, great judgment.
And, you know, as for there's a lot to talk about. We're obviously going to be talking about Minnesota Aurora. We're going to talk about TST, mm-hmm. because all of that is all something that, you know, we all have kind of a hand in. And so I just want to, we'll get through all, to all the details, but I just want to give a warm round of applause to our dear friend, and also what I would also deem the Cooligan soccer mom. Yeah. Kinda, I think that is also fitting as well.
I can see that.
Because please welcome Andrea Yosh, everybody. Andrea, how are you doing?
I'm good, you guys. I'm so honored, honestly, to be here. I feel like I'm early Cooligans, too.
Early adopter. First met,
yeah,
I am an early adopter Cooligan.
Without a doubt, because we initially met at when we were hosting ICC, in Charlotte.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
When Fiorentina was playing Arsenal, and they were doing a House of Soccer big event.
The park, and we were the hosts.
We were the hosts.
We were the MCs of this park.
Megan Rapinoe, we brought her on stage. Ron Rivera, who was the coach of the Panthers.
Charlotte Panthers at the time.
Yes, the Carolina Panthers.
Yep. Carolina Panthers.
And that, Ed, you were working for the, you know, the agency or the a company that was putting this whole thing together. So you are someone who's worked in soccer for and just in sports for a very long time, but now,
and somehow you said I should befriend these two idiots.
But well, because we were all so excited about meeting Megan Rapinoe.
Let's be
honest, it was a pretty big day for everybody.
We bonded very quickly, but now you know, you obviously still work in soccer, but you are also the I want to just make sure the title is correct, because you are the one of the co-founders of Minnesota, mm-hmm. Aurora, which is the USLW team that plays out there. You guys are based, you play in St. Paul?
We're just St. Paul adjacent. So technically we're in Eagan. We're at the Vikings practice facility. They have a 7,000 seat stadium.
Yes.
And that's our home.
We should be,
so,
we should
which
know
is
this.
Perfect
we
for
should
us.
Know this. Yes.
Because we got to drop a pin. It's important for us.
Because this is the announcement that we can make. The Cooligans are now co-owners. We are one of the owners of Minnesota Aurora.
Bro, we are co-owners of a women's soccer team.
Look at that. Right, let that right. Handshake. Okay. Okay.
You had to branch out of media.
I feel like I should be wearing a suit and have a briefcase. Or maybe an ascot.
Why am I not?
That's not us. We're grassroots. You look perfect.
Right. Okay. All right.
I like
the way you know what? I'm still wearing a fedora because I'm an owner.
Perfect. Okay. You wear the fedora. But yes, welcome to Minnesota Aurora's community owner group. We are the cool kids.
Thank you so much. I want to give people an opportunity just to learn a little about the club. I know, you know, we've worn the jerseys on the show throughout the last few years, but just let everybody know
we've had players on the show as well.
Sarah Fuller was on the show as well. So please let the world know, let our audience know about Minnesota Aurora, what it is, and the community investment.
So Minnesota Aurora is an amateur team in Minnesota that started a few years ago, a group of local normal people, if you want to call Wes normal, but local people.
Yeah, that's a Westbury name, yeah.
Originally they wanted weirdos, but they said, why don't we go with normal people?
Normal economic base, how about that?
Sure.
We decided that we didn't want to wait for some rich person to come along and start a women's soccer team, and that if we put our heads together, we could actually start a women's soccer team. And so that was a great idea, but then we had to figure out, well, how are we going to fund this women's soccer team, because nobody had any money. And Wes Burdine, who's the owner of Blackheart, where you guys have hung out.
We've done stand up there.
Yep. He is a student of sort of soccer culture, and he had seen community ownership campaigns happening with different teams. And he said, let's do a community ownership campaign. Let's raise money and we'll have owners, and that's how we'll get our money. And so we said, okay. And so that's what we did. And our initial campaign sold out we thought we'd raise about $300,000. We raised $1 million.
Wow.
We sold every share we had. We had people left on the waiting list. That group of people helped us pick our brand. So, you know, let's put Boston off to the side. We actually asked the fans. Yeah. So we asked our fans and all of those community owners. They helped us come up with the name Aurora. They voted on our brand. And suddenly we had a women's soccer team with 3,080 owners. So now here we are 3 years later, and we're still community owned. We still have to figure out how to raise money. So we have a new community ownership campaign, of which you have just joined and become owners. And so we are working to be the largest independent women's soccer team in the United States that is community owned.
Amazing. Yeah. And I know, you know, speaking to you and speaking to Wes, how much work it takes on a grassroots level.
This is
a really,
and this is our volunteer job. This is where it gets confusing, because my day job, which I've been lucky enough to work with you guys on, that's my paid work. Aurora is our volunteer work.
Yeah.
And so
it's very
rewarding.
I remember the first year, and I was watching games and seeing not only you know, obviously you mentioned playing at the Vikings practice field,
but
the fan reaction was great. You guys were selling out games, and then also the play on the field was spectacular. They were just like players. I'm like, wow, like these players, and I, throughout the years, I've been seeing players getting signed, going to playing in clubs in Europe, playing getting NWSL opportunities and things like that. And you see that the one thing you expect is like, oh wow, this is really cool. The you know, people we know have garnered this like incredible support in their community, and you love just that part of it. But then you watch the actual games and you're like, yo, these players are good. This is like no joke.
Yeah, and the crowd is the crowds are amazing. We expected a few thousand people, and our very first game we were at over 6,000, and so we're at max capacity now at our stadium, which is 7,000, which on a regular weekend outdraws a good chunk of the NWSL. And so our fan base is incredible, and it's from all over the world too. We have owners from all over the world, every state. And people just love being a part of this club and just owning the team. And so by being an owner, you tell everybody else that you own a soccer team, and then you bring them to games.
Which brings me to my next question. Nature, is there like a board meeting or something we need to be a part of?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Should we show up to Minnesota? Because we got time. We got ideas.
You can run, Alexis, for the board.
Oh, I just can't run, actually.
I'm going to more saunter for the board.
You can put your name in. So part of what we're doing differently is that our community owners vote for two people to sit on the board so that you always have a voice within the organization. Sure. So that's been really important, because our community owner representatives help with everything, like ticket prices. When should we do this? How do you think our community owners would react? And it does allow us to avoid really big, stupid mistakes because the community owners.
All right.
I'm here to shake it up. Let's add one big, stupid mistake.
Are you implying Boss Nation was a mistake?
Yeah, what?
No, not at all. That was a beautiful campaign.
I got an idea for our website. How about a good amount of balls.com? You know?
Just enough balls. Just enough balls.
An average amount of balls.com.
Yeah. You can have them, you cannot have them. Your choice.
We don't care.
Yeah. To you.
You're welcome. We're very inclusive.
Balls are balls. I don't care if they're attached, not who. Doesn't matter.
So can we talk a little bit about just the attempt to try to get into the NWSL and what that looks like,
because that was a big risk when you ventured that way,
right?
It was a very big swing. It's a sad story. I don't want to bring you guys down, but I actually left TST to fly home to finish our bid because it was due the Friday of TST.
Yeah, I remember.
Sadly, our team wasn't still playing at that point, so you know.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah. We got, so we submitted a bid. We had a full ownership group. We were really excited, actually. We really felt we had a really great shot at it. And then after the bids were submitted, it turned out that the people who had put their name in with us had also put their name in with another group. And that's against the rules. And so
they were hedging their bets, I guess.
That's exactly what they were doing. And so when they were asked to pick a group, unfortunately, they picked the other group.
Gotcha.
So after the bids were due, we lost our funding and we scrambled and scrambled and actually tried to find somebody else. But it's a little hard to find $150 million, just, you know, like that. And
we got couches. There could be something there. Yeah, we got
to
look.
Do you need me to send like a text or two? One of them is going to be to you.
That's great.
Yeah, you know anybody that got $150 million?
A lot of zeros. You can just send it straight to Jessica Berman if you want to.
Yeah. But it is interesting. Just the look. It's much more practical than maybe we kind of think. It's just like you need to have a lot of money. You need to have that,
at least access to people that are willing to commit that money.
Yeah. That security.
Yep. How do you sell to, let's say, Christian and I have $75 million each. Do you sell to us the prospect of women's soccer in a market like Minnesota, which is not small, but not the biggest either?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I tell you that the San Diego Wave and Angel City started for $2-3 million and then sold recently for hundreds of millions of dollars. Right. And wouldn't you want that investment?
I'm in. Right? That was great. What a great. I'm sorry. 100x my investment.
Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, that's pretty much that's the pitch, right? Okay. Is nothing is growing faster than women's sports and particularly women's soccer. You guys have been huge supporters from the beginning, but during the bid process, Angel City sold for $250 million.
Yeah.
I mean, whoever, you know, Alexis Ohanian, like, he looks like a genius. He started that team. And San Diego, we were working on the bid when San Diego sold for $113 million.
Yeah.
That's pretty good math.
And also, you know, we've been to Minnesota several times and we've seen plenty of Minnesota United matches, an all-star. I think people don't really understand how much how much potential the soccer, I mean, we've seen it on the men's side, but I don't think we really understand what the sort of cap is for women's soccer as well, because Minnesota soccer fans are awesome. And, you know, we've done stand-up shows at Blackheart, we did a live podcast at the Talisman Cap Store in St. Paul, just genuinely awesome, awesome people that really, really love the game. So I can't think of many other communities that could be potential bids in NWSL that would be better than Minnesota.
Especially that already have a stadium and have a clear support for the sport in general.
Women's sports is growing
at such a rapid pace.
We've played on the same night as Minnesota United and both of our games are sold out.
Yeah.
So
that shows you how big the community is, right?
Incredible.
The problem is that those NWSL players don't want to play for free. And so you got to raise the money.
Of course. Yeah, you know? Of course.
So it would be rude to ask them to play for free, I think.
To let people know, I want to move on. We'll talk some TST, but let people know how they can be how they can become part owners of Minnesota Aurora.
So if you go to wefunder.com/MN Aurora, that's where it happens. And I would like to put in a very special request. We are still looking for more U.S. women's national team players, and I know a lot of them love you guys. So,
okay.
If you're listening to this,
now our contact list seems a little bit more realistic.
Right. You know what? Okay, there's a third text I can send.
There are people we can text to get a little bit,
some juice going.
So we got a couple of them out there that have retired that we'd love to have join us. And it's a minimum investment of $100.
Okay.
So all right. Doesn't cost much to
they
come
got,
on
They
board.
Got it. They're good for it. They're good for $100.
How about this? How about one latte a day for the next 2 weeks?
Okay.
I think you're good. Or if it's Starbucks, 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about TST a little bit because...
A little background for the audience listening.
Yes.
When you were asked to play for TST, people thought, well, this must have come from some, you know, Jose Mourinho guy sitting in a corner office I need me this Dominican man who's quite shockingly a little taller than you expect him to be when you meet him in person. But this call came from you, Andrea.
Did, Yes. Yeah.
This. So I was telling people that it was the Make-A-Wish Foundation that reached out to me.
yeah.
And that I have, you know, they were like, hey, you're going to be in TSD. And I also have terrible news.
Yeah. So, you don't even need to be a sick kid. We're doing it for people who we know wouldn't get the opportunity either.
No,
way.
But yes, you were the person that reached out to me and asked if I wanted to play. So I never really got a chance to have this conversation with you. But why did you do that?
What is wrong with you?
Because you knew I wouldn't say no. But what was the catalyst?
So I was in charge of marketing the international matches that were coming over to the United States. And we had a game in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So we had Manchester City was playing Celtic in Chapel Hill. And I was trying to come up with ways to increase the volume around that match. And we were working with TST to sort of do cross promotion. And then I don't know why one day I was like, wait, why do I want to just put up banners when we could actually put in a team? And as usual with my crazy ideas, I'll go run it by somebody. So in this case, I called our mutual friend, Jamie Watson. And I said, okay, I have this really dumb idea. But what would you think if we put together a TST team of personalities? Right. So I was really looking at, you know, they accuse me of marketing FC, but I am marketing FC.
Let's go.
And that's fine.
I mean, that's your specialty.
That is my specialty. Yeah. This is what I do is put butts in seats and bring attention to things. So we decided to put together the most fun media type team that we could. And so you were very high on my list. And we may not have been the best soccer team out there, but we were the most fun.
This is a flex. You were high on the list. We all assumed a bunch of people said no.
No. He was very high on my initial list. And in fact, when I was presenting this to the rest of the group, they were like, wait, you can get like the Cooligans? And I was like, yeah, I think
wait,
so.
One of them. I don't think our EMT budget. You can have Alexa. I honestly assumed it was one of those things where we've all done it where you send a text and then right after you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You know?
No.
I just asked this person to go hang out. And I don't want to hang out with him now.
No. And we had a blast. Mateo got to come. That was awesome.
My son got to be there. My wife. Yeah.
Your wife was also there.
She enjoyed it as well. I didn't
know. Yeah, your wife. Yeah.
Just your son.
No.
Mateo's really cute, though.
Thank you. I mean, it was a. I'm not even exaggerating when I say this. It was one of the most transformative experiences of my life, Andrea.
It was amazing.
It was
this man came back like he had just been to U.S. men's national team camp. The confidence.
Hey, I was just at Camp Cupcake. Talk to me nice. You know what I mean?
We have professional players. He's like, for those really of us who've played in competitive matches, we know this.
Yeah. It was like summer camp, right? It was like if you ever went to summer camp as a kid and then you came back the next year and you hadn't seen your friends for a long time. That's what it felt like to me. It was a little bit like when the All-Star game was in Minnesota and we all hadn't seen each other for a long time because of COVID. Right. The All-Star game was 3 days worth of being so happy to see your friends.
Yeah. I had so much fun.
Now, there was a little bit late night drinking there, too, which I'm still recovering from.
As expected,
as us footballers do. It's okay. We can unwind.
Hey, you play hard. You party hard, right?
Put in a solid shift.
But yeah, TST was awesome. And it turned out Christian can play.
It was surreal being on the pitch with, I kept telling everybody that, you know, when I was on the pitch and I was like either defending against someone or somebody was defending against me, there was a surreal moment in realizing that the person that was in front of me that was defending me did not know that I was not a supreme football. You know what I mean? They were just like, I got to watch this guy because he might get by me.
And he's lanky. Yeah. He's young looking.
Who's this Dominican Pogba coming at me? Yeah.
Like he's a clown. This guy's playing. You know?
Why would he be here if he's a clown? Little do you know, sir. Yeah.
Putting my makeup on when you ain't looking.
So that, it just, all I'm saying is it boosted my confidence to a level, because I didn't grow up playing the game. I started playing it as an adult, and I think my inclusion in the team, I had so many people message me that they were like,
dude, this is inspiring.
Yeah.
This is incredible. We watched you do videos of you juggling during the pandemic.
4 or 5 hammies on middle-aged men were ruined because you asked him to be in TSD.
Okay, we gave him a false hope.
Yes.
Yeah. But
it was
it was awesome. And everyone on our team. I mean, how about Claudio?
Claudio Castagnoli, AEW wrestler, former WWE wrestler, kids lining up to take photos with him, and he's out here on the pitch with his 6'4", 250 pound self,
just a massive human being,
doing one twos, just going up. There were moments when aerial balls where we were playing against like hashtag United, and some guy went up for a 50-50 ball against a professional wrestler.
A guy who's done this from the top rope.
And I was just like, are you great? Like, you can't want $1 million this bad.
Bro, you ain't even getting all of it. You know what I mean?
The best part was our last game where that team was, I can't remember who it was. They were kind of obnoxious, right? Hashtag. They were trying to take you guys down. Like, they were so serious about it. And then afterwards, they all came over to the bench for selfies.
Right.
And I was like, okay, wait. So you do really like all of these guys. You just wanted to kill us on the soccer field.
They're like, remember me? I'm the guy who 2-foot you. Can I get a picture?
So it was really, really cool. And I just want to make sure, I already told you in person, but thank you so much again for the opportunity. Because it was,
in a way, Andrea made your dream come true when it wasn't even really your dream.
You just never thought you would ever do it. I had to add the dream to my bucket list after I was already at TSD.
My wife makes lists that way. She puts stuff on she's already done just so she can have something checked off.
Exactly.
That's what happened with TSD. Yeah.
This is how you become a sports team owner, is you don't know you have the dream, and then next thing you know, you have a women's soccer team.
Exactly.
You didn't even know it was on your bucket list.
This is the best.
I can't wait.
So whether it's on the pitch, whether it's in the front office, the Cooligans will have an influence, okay?
I think you're going to help with merchandise, too. Like, clearly your style.
Bucket hats. Yeah. Flip-flops that you could throw at children, right? That's for the Latinos.
Okay, wait. Yeah, we're trying to tap into a different market.
Thongs, bro. We got to have Aurora thongs. Aurora
thongs. Men's thongs.
Yes.
Who's modeling these thongs?
Hey, Alexis.
You're welcome, everybody. I don't know how many we're going to sell.
I don't know if you know this about Alexis. Obviously, it's Cooligan's lore, but Alexis was the vice president of modeling club in high school.
Mm-hmm. Vice president. Some would say the most important member of the modeling club.
In case the president was attacked or killed,
gunned down,
Alexis could step in.
I stepped in.
Okay, I am feeling an idea here that when we release our jerseys for 2025, you're going to have to come out and be on the runway.
I would love it. Make one that fits, and I will be there.
Happy to do that.
I'm sample size plus 50.
we were kind of talking. Before we started on air, but there were so many moments, whether it was being on the pitch, whether I was interviewing a lot of the players, doing the press conference, which was such a surreal fun thing. It was me, Jamie Watson, I think Claudio, and Kenny Cooper.
Kenny Cooper, legend.
A guy who was in the Manchester United Academy and doing a press conference.
The fun thing about
equal peers.
And my favorite thing about all of that was that nobody treated me any differently. They were just like, hey, you are one of the players on this team.
That's also where you can shine. You can show your talent.
Oh, wait, there's a microphone. The press conference. I'm like, hey, Kenny, I got this.
We had the best press conference because like so many of those teams, those people have never seen a camera.
Yeah.
And then we roll in with our media friendly team, broadcasters, superstars. And it's like, just keep rolling.
I love. Yeah, it was great. And I never got the footage of the press conference. I wonder if somebody has it.
I love that.
I'll ask him for it.
Yeah. Because that was, it was genuinely really fun. And then
I'm sure Gully Squad, our Patreon, would love to see that.
Yes. The journalists, which was like, hey, journalists, you know what I mean? Like, hey, this is, the roles were a little bit reversed.
Yeah. Usually I'm over there asking these questions. Yeah.
But it was.
Next year, you guys have to stay for the finals though, because I did fly back down to go to the women's final.
Yes.
And I said, that yeah, was I was so
at,
cool.
I was at the women's final, but not the men's final. I left that the next morning, so I missed the men's final.
So the women's final, I flew back for Monday night, and it's like Jessica McDonald, who's always been like one great. Of my favorite players. Like she's playing like right in front of me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, you know, it was great. You know, Lori Lindsay was down there. Lori's a community owner. Like it was just, it was very cool.
If you do this again, I'll be the manager.
Okay.
Perfect. Done.
Well, we had a coach who was also really awesome. But
yeah, but I'll be the guy behind him.
You could be the assistant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I managed to find work is I just stay behind the scenes and keep offering to do things.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's cool. I know we appreciate everything that you've done for us personally, but obviously all the contributions to the game and obviously wishing us a successful and just thriving Minnesota Aurora. And I hope soon we can finally like actually go, you know, I've watched a bunch of games on television, but it'd be nice to watch a game in person and stuff like that.
And someday we're going to be pro and you guys are going to be able to say I was part of getting us there.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. From the owner's suite. Yeah. We'll be saying that.
From the owner's suite.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's going to have to be a big suite because we have 5,000 owners now. So.
Right.
We may just actually call it a stadium.
Sure.
I guess.
The owner's suite is going to look like Dortmund's yellow wall. Andrew Yost, thank you so much for joining us. It's been super cool. And again, I'm excited to see what the future holds for Minnesota Aurora.
Well, thank you and welcome aboard. We're so happy to have you guys.
How about that from Andrea Yost, huh?
Andrea Yost.
Hey, how about us?
How about us? We're now owners.
Wow.
Of Minnesota Aurora.
Mama, I made a smart financial decision.
Okay. So look, I mean, we also got a nice little gift from Minnesota Aurora.
Very nice. Hide our address.
It's on this side.
Woo! Right. You know, just the trappings of being owners, bro.
Look at this. We got some sunglasses.
Bro.
For that bright Minnesota sun.
Bro, it really gets in your eyes, dog. I think it's the reflection of the snow.
Hey, let's go. And we got some jerseys.
How am I looking? Carter, on a scale of 1 to 10, me and sunglasses.
10 out of 10.
Hey, my guy knows that. He's just got a good sense of style,
Whoa,
you know?
Let's go.
Look at that.
And it has our names on it. All right. This was the number I had at TST at 41.
Oh, beautiful. Look at your kids. Gorgeous, too.
Yeah. Okay, because it's 4 for Mateo's birth month and 1 for his birthday, April 1st. Wow. That's why I had 41.
And mine's the year.
Wait, there's more stuff in here, though.
Of course there is.
Okay.
I'm going to take this off so I can actually see.
Hold on.
I don't want to ruin these beautiful glasses.
We got
you know, the last time they sent us something, there was edibles in it.
This is a beanie for a child. This is for Mateo.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, come on. Too kind. Thank you so much. Shout out.
Must be a shirt for you because look how small it is.
All right.
This is great. Thank you so much to our new club.
Exactly.
That we own as part owners.
Exactly. I mean, if we're saying thank you to our club, but it's sort of like we're thanking ourselves.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Fellow, just an owners meeting now.
Now that you guys conference, we should have donuts, dude, now that I think about it.
I think this podcast is now a tax write off.
100%. Has it not always been? Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Thank you again, Andrea, and everybody at Minnesota Aurora. Oh, is there a card in here? Oh, okay. Here we go. This says Alex and Christian. Welcome to our community. All right, it's all good.
Yeah. Okay. Don't read that. Got private information on it.
Thank you so much. All right.
That's what we do with all these bitcoins we bought years ago, bro.
Okay. You don't even understand. We're billionaires. Okay. We just do this out of like it's a hobby.
The Cooligans are on the up right now, dog. We're to the moon, my G.
Let's talk some Premier League because it was a little. I don't know if it's a shakeup necessarily, but it just seems like a roller coaster that is going downwards that you think like
It's gonna come up. Manchester City are gonna figure this out.
They can't possibly lose five games in a row.
They got an easy match coming up against Spurs.
Yeah. Well, Tottenham has been their bogey team. They've lost more points to Tottenham than any other club in the Premier League.
It's so fascinating. But usually those games are at Tottenham Stadium.
And also, usually Tottenham only does this whenever it doesn't help Arsenal. I don't know what they're doing, man. Last season, bro.
Don't you know the script? You're not following it.
Yo, help us. You know us who've been making fun of you for decades. Help us.
But no, Tottenham defeat Manchester City 4-0.
4-0. This is huge. James Maddison on his birthday with a brace.
Mm.
They scored early. They scored fast. And yo, Manchester City. Also, if Erling Haaland brings the scoring boots, this is 2-2 in the first half. Maybe even possibly 2-0 to Manchester City. So...
But you, I mean, yes, that is true.
I think Tottenham played extremely well.
Vicario was remarkable stopping some of those.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you would assume Erling Haaland got this, bro. This is why you brought him in, right?
Totally, totally.
Yo, Phil Foden's not really playing up to the level that he was. Kovacic looks like he's out for a month.
Yeah, Kovacic didn't play this game. Who was in his position?
Gundogan.
Gundogan and Rico Lewis, which is like, it's basically saying, we're not going to play with a defensive mid.
Yeah.
And we're just going to try to maintain possession. Holy smokes, that didn't work at all.
But now I'm looking back at some of their previous matches and I'm thinking like, yo, were they foreshadowing this? Like Gvardiol scoring screamers at the end of the game to save them?
Yeah.
Can you always hang on to that? Now I'm questioning everything. You know what I mean? That's how insane. Five losses in a row for Manchester City. For Pep Guardiola, first time in his career.
Yeah.
A champion hasn't lost five matches in a row the following season since Chelsea. Do you want to guess what year?
What year?
1956.
Wow. Oh, I remember that time.
Remember?
How did I forget?
We were streaming.
we were streaming.
It was on Morse code. It was very difficult.
We were streaming through those two cups and a string. It was great. we've been saying this throughout this losing streak of like, why does Manchester City look so pedestrian? How come... It's every single facet of their game is like where we're sort of used to them being almost automatic and mechanical of like, this player's going to be here. These are going to be the link ups and so on and so forth. And that has just not been the case.
Yeah.
They look sometimes lost defensively where like, you know, you don't think of Manchester City being like, that was your guy. And blah, yeah. Like, that's not the type of team that they have.
Right.
And that seems to be what is happening. But the James Maddison, again, like you mentioned, the second goal, the chip, mm-hmm. just a great play. But the Manchester City losing the ball like in their own half and then getting absolutely like, just demolished where they all sort of look lost when the ball is when the ball changes hands. And Tottenham just took complete advantage of it. Even the last goal for Brendan Johnson, I'm just like, how... Did they give up? Like,
yeah.
What is going on?
There is a lack of bite, a lack of intensity from Manchester City that you don't see very often.
Yeah.
Especially not a Pep Guardiola team, because you would assume at some point in these four losses, it would have been, or five losses, it would have been like, hey, guys, you know, you're not going to be playing. I mean, we're used to him having such a deep squad that you're like, you could say to a player, like, that wasn't good enough. They're like, I scored two goals. You should have scored four.
Right.
That's the conversation that Pep Guardiola is used to having, not, yo, we've lost four in a row. That's crazy. So to lose five in a row, I didn't think it would happen. And this has nothing to do with Tottenham. I've already said I'm an Ange Postecoglou fan. I like the way he sets this team up. You just assume a guy like Pep Guardiola would be like, oh, they're going to high press. They're going to leave so much space behind. Van de Ven's not available. I think we can get him. And nothing. Absolutely nothing.
But I can't make sense. How does Tottenham do this to City and then lose to... Goddamn Ipswich.
Bro.
What is this? How much sense does this make?
I think that whoever scripts the Premier League is like, yo, let's make it wild this year.
I mean, it's like, you know, without due respect to Ipswich, I mean, we saw their performance against Manchester United. But come on.
Speaking of.
Where is the this same sort of, I don't know, something to prove? And
well, this is the thing
every
about,
match.
If you're going to keep playing the high line, sometimes you're going to get bit. Sometimes you're not. You know
yeah.
what I mean? But yeah. you mentioned Ipswich. Bro, they stood tall against Manchester United this weekend.
They did.
Amorim, man, what a start.
I would say they were better than Manchester United.
For
they should
large...
have 100% won that game. If it wasn't for Andre Onana,
yeah.
they are not winning this game. And Amarim doesn't even have the, like, oh, at least I got a point or whatever. What were the comments? I saw you retweeted something.
Which one?
About, like, he was stunned about the job was as big as it was. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, you made a joke or whatever about it.
I said stunned by the size of the job. And I said, that's the cleaning lady going to the bathroom after me.
which is good.
Yeah, they should do press conferences for the cleaning lady. I got some good ones, guys. Follow me on social media. But I think when you look at what he's had to deal with, he had, what, two training sessions?
Yeah.
He said he picked the team that had been with him the most, the players that had been there the most, because they understood most of what they wanted. So this isn't even the lineup we're going to see. But again, Ipswich being bottom of the table type team, you know, in the lower third of the table, you'd expect them to sort of cower in the situation, even at home. And they saw, you know, Marcus Rashford score early, and they said, no, don't worry about it. And little by little, they got themselves to the point where in the second half, I had all the confidence in the world that they were going to not just equalize, but win this game.
Yeah, I mean, the Onana made a few
tremendous... Onana was by far the best player wearing a Manchester United shirt.
He made huge stops. Was it Liam Delap had, like, the basically a tap in, and Onana, I couldn't even believe he stopped. He just, it was one of those, like, I'm throwing my body out here, and if the ball hits me, I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna be very happy about that.
Right.
But there were so many chances, and I think that's kind of like what you just sort of alluded to, just like Ipswich were not intimidated by Manchester United, and it seemingly this is the case. I mean, it has for arguably probably the last like 5 years, maybe a little less. No, but it went from, like, you know, people, you know, Manchester United having issues and they couldn't find the right roster and drama and Sancho and Ronaldo coming back and blah, 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 to now being like, yo, they can't even, we have nothing to be afraid of. And there's no real presence on that team that tells me, like, if I'm an opponent, that I'm like, oh, I got to be worried about him or whatever. Even though, I mean, there's a couple of really good players. I thought Amad Diallo just... getting the assist in that and, like, just creating that opportunity and making that run really early in the game, I think was a good sign. And it shows, like, a lot of Manchester United fans just, like, want him to play more. And it's good that to see that and to see him do something positive. But outside of that, and especially from a defensive perspective, you know, and now that Amarim is going to play 3-4-3 or 3-5-2 or whatever, this is going to put a lot of responsibility and pressure on the defenders, especially when they lose the ball. When they have the ball, they'll probably look pretty good, but without the ball, I'm a little bit worried.
Well, Johnny Evans can't be on this squad.
He was on there.
Yeah, he can. Moving forward, I mean, maybe he was just in training more, but moving forward, that can't be the guy you call.
Is DeSandro Martinez injured again or no?
Yeah, he is. Okay. There's something wrong, but I think he's on his way back. But did you see the post game where he was, I think it was Sky Sports, where they were asking him questions, and Ruben Amorim gave, like, a really detailed answer. They were like, you know, he was like, yeah, you know, I picked the players that were with me the most, and, you know, I think we were good in this situation. I'm paraphrasing. He's like, and others, he goes, but there's things that, you know, we learned in training that I had not known before. He was like, you know, Garna. He calls him Garna. He's like, Garna can play with the ball at his feet in between lines. He's like, I didn't know that.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, he's like actually answering the question.
Oh, wow.
He's not like ignoring it or finding a creative way around it. Such a breath of fresh air from how, you know, Erik ten Hag treated the media, you know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of nice to see, like, okay, he's got the right idea.
I can't really picture Garnacho playing in the midfield. Between the
apparently
lines,
he can.
He's fast as hell, and he's great on the wing.
Don't get that shot in Argentina. Like, there's some guys in there that I think they're gonna get until they're done. They're gonna get that chance. But that to me shows that, like, okay, he's coming in and trying to make the players better.
Sure,
or finding other ways, creative ways of using the players.
But also, post game. Also, speaking of on Sky Sports, the Ed Sheeran incident. Ed Sheeran making news, bro. Making it about himself,
popping up, saying what's good. What y'all talking about? What's up, Amarim? How was day one?
Hey, I'm here to just give you a nice little warm welcome.
Yeah.
No, this was a, if you didn't see the clip, it was, he went to go say hello to Jamie Redknapp?
Yeah, right? Jamie Redknapp.
And in the middle of the interview with Ruben Amarim, and I didn't really think necessarily much of it, but then the host of the show was like, talking to Sheeran and basically said, like, oh, do you want to say anything to Ruben? And he was like, I don't think he wants to speak to me.
And Ruben was like, no, I don't. Spot on.
You got it. Yeah. Write a song about it, Ed. Yeah,
it feels like you could read the room there, Ed.
I'm not too happy with this result. Ed Sheeran later apologized on Instagram. He goes, apology if I offended Amram yesterday. Didn't actually realize he was being interviewed at the time. Was popping in to say hi and bye to Jamie. Obs feel a bit of a, I don't know what.
There's a word that he blurs out everything but the first letter, which is a B.
Yeah, I don't know what.
What's a British word that they would use there?
Bastard?
Bellend.
Is that long enough for bellend? That is long enough for bellend.
Okay. All right. Yes, that is a long bellend.
Yeah. Right. Hey. Good for you. Hey. All right.
But he said, but life goes on. Great game, though. Congrats on all involved. Yeah, this was a huge result.
Is he part owner of Ipswich or just a super fan? Did he like fully invest?
I think he's an investor. Yeah.
I think he is part owner.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, love that.
Shouts to Ruben Amorim for playing along with that.
Yeah,
you could tell he wasn't actually upset.
Yeah, well, but there's something to, you know, he jumps into this job and he's like, all right, I gotta be serious.
Respect me. I am Manchester United head coach.
Ed Sheeran, okay. Yes, I've heard one of your songs. I hear it at weddings all the time. But this, now is not the time, Ed.
Right.
I love that. The other game.
Did you also see that some of the fans went after Roy Keane?
I did see that.
And Roy Keane said, I'll meet you in the car park.
Which is, that's why.
Bro.
That's why.
Roy. Hey, chill.
It can't be. It's a little bit when keeping it real goes wrong.
Yeah, it goes too far.
Because now.
Remember, he was the manager of Ipswich.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, he was like a failed manager. So there's clearly some bad blood there.
Yeah, they said you're a better pundit than a manager.
Yeah.
And then he said, meet me at the car. He goes, look. Roy Keane is going to escalate it very quickly. Yo, so you better.
Didn't he just get out of like a trial for headbutting a dude? Right? Allegedly. I don't know what happened.
But how much
are your lawyers like, go ahead, bro.
It was I think the fan was the one that instigated the whole thing or whatever. But yeah, it's like, look, he's going to keep it. He has to. People are trying to egg him on, and he's going to have to find a way
you
to
can't
deal
do
it.
Yeah, in the parking lot.
I think I read that. Was it Sky that he was working for at the time?
I think he was working at Sky. Yeah.
And they said, like, we're doing an investigation to see what the details of this incident are. But it's just like, you can't do the meet me at the car, park. All right. It's a little too much. All right. The other game we have to talk about is Liverpool against Southampton. Southampton hosted this game. They were leading in this game, but they end up losing 3-2. To Liverpool. Just the fact that they were even leading in the game, I think, was a surprise to most. But Liverpool, they do what they do.
They'll figure it out.
And they got it done. But I think the big talking point in this game was...
The penalty?
What happened?
Was it on the line? Was it not on the line?
Right. That was a... what did you think?
I think it's enough on the line. The line is in the box.
Yeah.
Also, it's enough on the line for me to say that's a penalty.
Who has to be on the line? Like, is the...
You have to be fouled on the line.
Because it looked like, who was it? Robertson, right? Is the one that committed the foul. Andy Robertson.
Yeah.
He to me, committed the foul on the line. But the Southampton player, to me, was not on the line. Or it could have been like...
But it's not where the contact initiates. The contact carries through over the line or onto the line. You are now in the box. That is a penalty.
Okay. I could see that.
And also, it was called a penalty. There wasn't enough. And people were like, that's not enough to say it's a penalty. That's not the job of VAR.
Yeah.
VAR's job is to say, is there proof that it wasn't a penalty? There wasn't. So if you saw it as a penalty, that's a penalty.
Because it could have been...
Can you tell I'm an Arsenal fan? I want Liverpool to lose. Can you tell?
It could have been a scenario where the foul happened. Because we're all looking at the angles and who knows. Yeah, it could have been like the foul happened over the line.
That's on the line,
but
though.
That is on the line. So
that's a penalty.
So that's why when I was looking at it, I'm like, well, the Southampton player doesn't seem to be on the line. He's not physically touching the actual powder that is on the line.
It's kind of like a smart play by Andy Robinson. Like, hey, if you're going to foul him in front of the line.
Yeah.
But it just crosses over to the line.
Exactly.
In which case, boom, you're done.
So,
but Mohamed Salah.
Mohamed Salah.
You think he would celebrate this win?
Yeah. So the news... after the game, because he was interviewed by Joe Prince-Wright. He was
there was a little bit of a scrum here, so I think Joe Prince-Wright is the first guy who's asking.
He's asking Mo Salah about his contract situation because he is not He doesn't have a contract in place for next season at Liverpool. And then, so there's two things happening here. It's also the conversation about the contract, but also we're getting a very close look at Mohamed Salah's hairline.
Yeah, the new hairline.
We can see the impeccable work.
Right? This was not from Timu. This was like a for real hairline. And I just, before we play this, I want to remind you, Opta released some information about Mohamed Salah, who's having a career season right now, making an argument for greatest player in Premier League history. He himself has scored and assisted enough to qualify or to have earned Liverpool 17 points himself.
Wow.
Without that, Chelsea's in first place and Liverpool are in 13th place. So if Mohamed Salah is not in this team, they don't get 17 points. Exactly. They're in 13th place and Chelsea is in first. Obviously, another player would be in that position. Exactly. Maybe they score some goals. Not exact. But that's how much he's worth
MVP
right now.
MVP season.
Absolutely.
So far for Mohamed Salah. All right. So here goes.
There's a lot of talk about your future. What's the latest you can tell us on that?
Well, we're almost in December. I haven't received any offer to stay yet in the club, so probably I'm more out than in. So.
Would you like to stay though?
Well, you know, I've been in the club for many years. No club like this, but in the end, it's not in my hand. So, as I said before, it's December, so I haven't received anything.
So he said, so basically,
I'm
more out than
never in. Never good. I don't care what situation you're in if you're saying that.
Not a great situation, but it's also the direct question of like, would you like to stay? And he doesn't hit him with a yes, I would like to stay. It's like, oh, it's not in my hands, and it's December, and we're.
I actually think he was saying like, of course I'd like to stay, but it's not. He said there's no club like this.
But he didn't say it. Yes, I would like
to
stay.
Well, see, I think this is the thing. It's like, they don't want to give up leverage on the negotiation.
Yeah, yeah.
And Liverpool don't want to lose leverage on the negotiations. So both of them are just going to keep like, whatever the opposite of flirting is.
Right, right.
They're going to keep doing, whatever the opposite of Riz is, they're going to keep doing that in the media. But yo, every time Mohamed Salah's asked about it, he's just like, yeah, bro, they ain't talked to me. It's like, yo, at some point, like, I kind of miss when players would just like not say anything.
Yeah, this is, I mean, look, no comment would have been fine here.
Damn.
I think for a lot of people, but this is the
it's like your drunk uncle at Thanksgiving, bro. Yo, you're saying a lot of secrets right now.
This is the main thing here is I just think they need to offer offer a little bit of respect.
Yeah.
I mean, how much better does he need to play? This is just, it's clearly an important player.
Yeah.
One of the most important players, I would say, in Liverpool's history.
Yeah, facts.
I don't understand why you would treat a player like this that is so crucial to your club and also beloved by all the fans. Don't understand, but clearly the money issue, kind of like what you said. It seems like we're all watching them negotiate in public. And he's not going to give up any kind of, show his hand even a little. Even it's just like, even him saying like, hey, I like this club. There's nothing like it. Even that, his agent's probably like, yo, don't be saying anything positive about it.
Because
they're going to offer you less.
Don't say anything crazy either, though.
Find the nice, steady middle ground where you're like.
Sit on that fence, my guy.
You're like, I don't even know if I want to play soccer anymore.
I got this YouTube channel I want to start. I saw Ronaldo killing it.
So that's what Salah's next move needs to be. So, but no, big, obviously now the Liverpool have a what's the point gap? 8 points. 8 points.
Still doesn't feel like this is settled in any way, shape, or form.
It's not settled.
It's way too early.
But feels they have to feel pretty good about.
Yeah, this is
watching
good news.
City lose over and over and over.
Yeah,
is definitely comforting. But no, also a big win from Arsenal beating Nottingham. I think maybe. Hope calm a little bit of those fears that I think Arsenal fans
I mean,
were
just
having.
Goes to show you how important Odegaard is.
Without a doubt.
It's ridiculous. So, one of the best players in the league.
We're heading into, obviously, the holiday fixtures that are going to be pretty intense. And we'll see how things end up, you know, after Boxing Day. Because I think the table is going to be changing quite a bit by the time January comes. So, yes, another wild weekend of Premier League, and then we'll wrap up there as well. Thank you again to Andrew Yosh for joining us. Shout out to us, just becoming owners in a football club,
bro.
This is all right. Things are changing. All right.
Look at us, huh?
Look at us. I mean, incredible. So
if someone's like, "Yo, y'all don't support me soccer." We literally do. I like how we're holding each other's shirts. That's the biggest shirt you've ever held. in your life.
So go if you'd like to also become an investor in Minnesota Aurora, go do that. Go to their website. There it's on WeFunder, like we mentioned on the show, and join us if you want to sit in the boardroom with the Cooligans. So I'm sure.
Bring donuts.
Yeah, that'll be your job.
We'll bring bagels.
Okay, but it'll be a good time. So make sure you follow us everywhere at Soccer Cooligans on all socials. Follow us on Blue Sky.
Yes,
we're having a good time over there. With some sane human beings, it's lovely. And subscribe to the YouTube channel if you have not yet, and leave a review on Apple Podcasts or leave a comment on Spotify. You can do that as well. Anything else? Anything I missed?
Nothing.
All right, the best.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yes,
that's a big one.
We're obviously all Thanksgiving is this Thursday. We'll be off. We'll be back next week on Monday with another hit show.
Another banger.
Another banger. That's all we do.
Another banger in your ear.
All right.
Let's go to the doctor. Okay.
I'll get health insurance.
Yo, facts.
Open enrollment ends December 15th.
Bro, everybody. Hurry up. There's about to be a banger in your ear, bro.
You don't want to. You're going to tell the doctor, like, yo, I was listening to Cool. Again, that's why this blood came from.
Damn, he's like, another banger in here. You're the fifth one today.
I've been seeing this all day. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in. Have a good Thanksgiving, and yeah, we'll see you next week. Cheers, everybody.
Love you guys.